Okay, so welcome everybody to Job Search Wars. Today is July 24th, and this is the noon Job Search Wars. Conquer your fears, charge with your resume, and capture the job. Again, my name is Michelle Robin of Brand Your Career, and I want to welcome you along with Sari Klein and Megan Walls of Jumpstart the Job Search. We are excited you all are here today, and we're ready to answer your burning job search questions. So our goal really is to take some of the mystery out of the modern-day job search and arm you with knowledge so that you can start landing more interviews faster and eventually your ideal job. So just want to check, Sari, are you dialed back in?
I'm here. I'm here.
Okay.
And I can hear.
Oh, good.
Okay.
All right. Glad you're back. So I just wanted to go around, since we do have a small group, it looks like we only have about 5 or 6 people on the call today, but like I said, that's to your advantage. You get to get more of your questions answered. So what I'd like to do is go around the phone real quick and just say where you're calling from and where you are in your job search. Are you brand new? Have you been searching for months? Have you been searching, longer than that? Or just give us, a little bit of a time frame and let us know. So who would like to start?
I'll start.
Okay.
Can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay. My name is Kathy Belcher, and I've been in a job search now for about 2 months. I was recently surplused or downsized from the company I worked with, and in my process, I've just now started to really get into LinkedIn and to all my different contacts, had a couple of phone interviews, but I've been reading a lot of blogs, and I know that it takes a long time, and I just wanted to get on the call to see what other people were experiencing and to try to figure out what I'm doing wrong.
Great. Welcome, Kathy. Thank you.
Thank you.
So I'm in Evansville, Indiana, and I've been searching casually, I guess, for about 8 months, and really just seriously within the last couple of weeks.
And your first name again?
It's Mike.
Mike, great. I didn't get that. Perfect.
Okay.
All right. Hi, Mike. Welcome. Anyone else?
Hey.
Or I'll start calling on Frances because I know her.
Hi, this is Lori.
Lori?
Yeah, hi. I took an early retirement last year, so I'm kind of looking the last 6 months for a part-time gig of some sort, and looking forward to hear what you guys have to say.
Great. Thank you. Welcome.
Hey, is this Scott? Hello?
Hey, Scott.
Can you hear me?
Hey there.
Yes,
how are
you?
I can hear you. I'm good. How are you?
I'm good. I tell you, the woman who's been looking for 2 months, I doubt you're doing anything wrong because 2 months is not that long. I've been out for, I think, 9 months at this point. And I've had varying levels of success, gotten close on a couple things, and it's a big roller coaster, but it can be a long, drawn-out process.
All right. Thanks for dialing in, Scott. And Frances, I'm going to pick on you because I know you're on the call.
My name is Frances. It's kind of been a roller coaster the last, I don't know, I should say, a little over a year. Just didn't have any LinkedIn presence a year ago, just starting out, and just sifting through all these new tools. It's been taking some time. I work with the personal career coach beginning of the year, and now joined Barrington Place. And been in job search about a month and a half. True job search about a month and a half.
Okay, great. Anyone else on the call that hasn't spoken up?
Hi, my name's Tom. I'm currently employed, but I'm not sure it's the right fit, so I'm contemplating getting back into job search. I'm in the Chicago suburbs.
Great, thank you. Welcome. I'm so glad to hear from everyone. So I'll do one more call, make sure, did I get everybody on the call? All right, great. So we would really like to hear from all of you guys. So before we totally dive into that, I wanted to give you a little bit of background on how the call is going to work today. So you're going to have an opportunity to ask a seasoned recruiter, Sari Klein, a career coach, Megan Walls, or a career brand strategist, me, Michelle Robin, anything about your job search. So here's how today's call is going to work. We'll have a Q&A format. Please be open and engaged. It'd be great if you could state your first name when asking a question so we know who we're talking to. And I'll start a brief introduction with the panel in just a second, and then we'll move into your questions. And I want to give everyone the opportunity to at least ask one question, so I would ask that you give everyone time to talk and don't interrupt. And I also want to thank everyone who submitted questions ahead of time, and we'll get to those too. A quick housekeeping note, star 6 will mute your phone in case you have any background noise, dogs barking, babies crying, all that fun stuff. And star 6 will also unmute your phone. So if it gets too noisy, I can also mute callers if they're not paying attention. So again, star 6 is like a toggle switch to mute and unmute. So with that, I'd like to introduce our panel. First is Megan Walls of Jumpstart the Job Search, a certified career coach. Megan, please tell the callers a little bit more.
Sure. I am happy to be on the call, and my previous career was 20 years in corporate America, and I actually decided to retire. And I retired without a plan and without support, and I found the career transition to be incredibly difficult. And so I really patterned my coaching, which is what I stumbled upon in reinventing myself, helping people transition in their career, whether it's up, sideways, out, and into something different. So I've learned a lot about career transition and use an inside-out process, really helping people identify who they are, what they want, and then getting them moving forward. So thanks so much for being here. And, I'm can recognize what you're going through.
Okay. Great. Sari's a seasoned recruiter with Jumpstart the Job Search. And would you like to tell everyone else a little bit more about you?
Absolutely. And welcome to all of you. I have had a career as a recruiter. I'm going to tell you 30 years, but I'm really not 90 years old. I've just been doing this a long time. And I guess I've, as a recruiter, I can tell you I've seen the best and the worst of interviewing. And I come from a vantage point that I think will be helpful to you because I know what the employers want. I know what ticks them off. I know their hot buttons. And so I'm able to give you some really clear and honest direction, I think, that a lot of recruiters are reluctant to give you after you interview because every day is afraid to tell you, you know, really what you did wrong. So I hope that I can be very frank and tell you some of the things that really turn off employers or turn them on. I don't want to be negative. There are many positive ways that I think as a recruiter I can be helpful to you. So
great.
With that.
Thank you. Thanks, Sari. And I'm Michelle Robin, a career brand strategist and founder of Brand Your Career. I empower sales and marketing executives to sell themselves without thinking about it so they can land their jobs faster. And previous to this role, I had about a 19-year career in marketing, primarily doing direct response, direct marketing. In fact, that's where Scott and I know each other from, CADM. But I've been highly involved in that, and so I kind of come at the whole career marketing aspect from that traditional corporate marketing background, and I'd like to apply that to everybody's personal brand. And I'm also a dual-certified resume writer, so if you've got any burning resume questions, I can answer that as well. So with that, I'd like to get started. Who has the first question?
Well, yeah, this is Mike, and I guess Mike may be a little bit farther down the path, but at what point do you go ahead and ask the interviewer for the job?
I'm going to let Sari take that question. Great question, Mike. Thank you. Did you hear it, Sari?
I sure did, and it's just a spectacular question. because I think that is one place that candidates absolutely blow it, because you've gone through the interview process, and I don't know what kind of job you're interviewing for, but let's say it's a sales job. Well, for sure they want to know that you want to close the deal, but for that matter, any job. So I always say, if you want that job, the best thing to say when you're done with the interview is, I would love this job. I think that I would add a lot of value to your company. What is the next step? What do I have to do to get this job? So put it out there, ask for it, and I just think that it's the best way to do it.
Good.
Any other thoughts?
No, I don't have any additional thoughts. That would be my suggestion, too.
Okay. So. Great.
Thanks, Mike. And I think I heard Tom trying to pipe in for a question, too. Did you have a question, Tom?
Actually, that was me, Scott.
Oh, it was Scott. I knew it was a male voice. Sorry, Scott. Go ahead.
Yeah, I mean, I guess at first, I think responding to, I think, Mike's question, I always end every interview with a question about next steps, and make it perfectly clear that I'm interested in the job, if of course I am. You get a whole range of responses to that. You get the positive, because that's what they want you to hear, or you get the completely non-committal, and from that response you can usually tell whether this thing is going to go any further or not. They don't have to say yes, but how they say what they say says a lot. Anyway, the question that I was going to raise was, it's something that I ran into very recently. It was what I call the hidden criteria. I went through a number of interviews, even went out to Seattle to meet with the entire team. The most senior guy couldn't make it, and I had to do a phone interview follow-up with him, which I thought went really, really well, until I hear through the recruiter that this guy didn't think I could do a certain thing. It was lead the development of an intelligence platform. And it just floored me, because never through any of those conversations with the recruiter or the team, or even looking through the job description, was there any mention of this concept and the need to lead such a development effort. And certainly if that guy had probed when I asked questions that were somewhat related, we could have got into that discussion. So I don't know if there's a way, how do you unearth these hidden criteria either in the interview process or, after the fact and try to save an opportunity?
Great question. Thanks, Scott. Sari, I'll let you.
All right, let me feel this one, I guess. I feel for you, because you're absolutely right. There's often this hidden agenda or hidden criteria, and maybe sometimes it's just that they're, sort of hanging their hat on something that really isn't important, but for some reason they didn't hit it off with you. So I don't always believe, I hate to say this, what the recruiter has to tell you as far as why, you didn't go forward. But one of the things that I do like to suggest to candidates is, if you're interviewing and you feel that perhaps at the end of the interview that you didn't get across all the things that you might be good at, or all your strengths, or all your, the value that you bring to the company, I always suggest at the end of the interview that you say, have I answered your questions adequately? Is there anything about my background that I haven't addressed? Are there any holes in my background that you would, that you feel that I have for this job? So I'd put it right back out to them and say, is there anything you think I'm missing? Is there anything I haven't talked about? And that often elicits at least a conversation. And, if I ask that, or somebody asks that of me, I often will say, well, we really didn't get a chance to talk about this particular skill, or we didn't get a chance to talk about your past history. So I think it does elicit some good conversation. So I hope that might be helpful to you.
Yeah, that is. I appreciate it. And, I actually did think, you suggested it might be an objection raised just because the person didn't get a good feeling about you for whatever reason that might be. I sort of felt that this could have been just a bit of a smoke screen, but anyway, I appreciate the feedback.
No problem.
Thank you. All right, does anyone have another question?
This is Tom. Do you have any advice on evaluating coaches and trying to find the sort of the right coach for what you're looking for and your style and personality?
Sure. I'll answer this, and I'll also let Megan and Sari pipe in too. Whoever has a phone ringing, I can't totally tell. If you could mute your line, that'd be great. Some of the questions that I think are important to ask when you're looking at a coach is, you know, what would we work on first? How do you approach your clients, and what kinds of...
Yeah, so I'm not worried. Okay.
Let me mute that. So, you know, what kinds of exercises do you do with your clients? And how do you help them? Do you accept, like, emergency calls, or is it only our scheduled, you know, 1 hour a week or whatever their system is for working with your coach? You know, see if they offer maybe a 10-minute emergency call if you're up against a wall. What do I do now? Here's this interview that I have coming up, and I just need a quick tip on this. See how accessible they are. I think you really... It's important, though, that you have the right personal connection with that coach, and figure out, you know, what are the results that they're helping their clients get? Are their clients, you know, landing jobs sooner? Are their clients feeling more confident in their interviewing skills? Are their clients discovering things about them that they didn't know before? So those are the types of questions that I would ask a coach when looking, you know, at a coach. I think it's also important if they understand your industry, at least have some knowledge of your industry and what you're going for, is always an additional kind of bonus if the coach understands that as well. So Sari or Megan, maybe Megan, we haven't heard from you in a while. Let you pipe in first.
Sure. Michelle, great. Points, and Tom, it's a really great question. You know, as a career transition coach, what you want to do is, first and foremost, you want to interview a few coaches, and you want to make sure that they are in the niche that you want help with. So you're looking for career transition coaches. Talk to them, or actually meet them face to face, and ask them about their process. What is the process that they use to help their clients in job transition? You also want them to do a demonstration of their coaching style with you, because as Michelle said, it is very important to find the right connection and fit, right? That is, and there, you know, there's a number of coaches out there for you that do this. You also, I've had clients ask me for references, you know, and call up their past clients and see what they've said. The other thing is, we are governed by the International Coach Federation. And we're not regulated. They oversee us. So know that there's a number of coaches out there that have not gone through training, that are not ICF credential. And then there are, so you want to find out their schooling, credentialing, how many years they've been coaching, and what their background is. You know, have they, you know, do they have similarities? And again, the niche piece. So that is what I would suggest, and I would definitely interview several coaches and really feel them out.
Thanks, Megan. Sari, do you have anything else to add?
I'm sure I always have something to add. you know, I would say that it's just really important that you really, I think, connect with the coach that you're going to be working with. I know that, part of what I do along with Megan is we have a coaching company called Jumpstart the Job Search, and we do coach people in the job search and the interviewing process. And we really do better with the people that, we've really met with, connected with, and they understand, what our goals are, and we understand what their goals are. So I guess what I'm just parroting is that, seek up somebody that you feel like you can work with, as Michelle said, that maybe will take a phone call from you and an email from you. I know that we do that, constantly. We are there and available for our clients. So, if that's important to you, I would certainly ask about that. Some coaches are rigid, so just depends on what you're looking for.
This is Megan. I just want to add one more thing, Tom. I think the other side of the coin is knowing when you are ready for a coach, right? And I would say that a person is ready to hire a coach when they are ready, willing, and committed to doing the work, to staying motivated and involved, and investing in themselves, because it is an investment in you. And so, we've had clients that we've worked with that they weren't ready to do the work. They wanted us to do the work. And it's not about us doing the work. It's about the client doing the work. So I think that's an important thing to point out as well. So thanks.
Thank you.
Thank you. Okay, does anyone have another question?
I have a question. So going back to the career coach, I currently have a transition person that I'm working with, but that person was provided to me by the company that I left. So I've never met that person. I don't know the background of the person or anything. I guess my question, based on what you said, is I should go to LinkedIn or wherever, look for a person in my market area that has my similar background, and try to interview two or three people there and select the person, because that's what I feel like I'm doing. Well, I'm supposed to be doing all the work, and I understand that, but I don't get the feedback. We totally disagree. So she says 90% of my time should be networking, 5% should be on the computer, 90% should, we always disagree, and we have these 20-minute conversations that I don't feel like are going anywhere, and I'm willing to do whatever to try to find something. So far, not really working.
Great. And your name? This is Megan. What is your name?
I'm sorry, I forgot. Kathy Belcher. Kathy.
Okay, so Kathy, this is Megan. Know that this happens. You start working with a coach, and you find out that maybe the fit isn't there. It's not working, and that's fine. And you shouldn't be spending 20 minutes kind of going around in circles. It's more about moving forward. So I would suggest that, and as a career coach, she definitely wants to keep you moving forward, but she needs to meet you where you are, right? And so if you're not happy, I would have a conversation with her and tell her what is not quite right and see if you can get it right. And if that doesn't seem to work, then I would definitely interview other career coaches. It would be great if they have a background that you do, because they understand your business. I would interview them over the phone. Know that the phone is just as effective for coaching as face-to-face. You can feel that connection and energy over the phone. And I would check out their background, and you might ask them for references. Who else have you coached? And what kind of results have they gotten working with you? By all means, it's an investment in you. So if you're not happy, you need to be happy. So hopefully that answers. Is there anything else I can add or any other question?
No, I think that helps me a lot. Like I said, I've only been doing this for a little while, but I do know that I still have all my connections to these different presidents, and I've shared all of these things, and I just recently went through 4 interviews because my coach was expressing to me that I needed to get the experience because I had not been out in the job market interviewing, so continued through the process, and I felt so bad at the end of those 4 interviews because the company was ready to make me the job offer. I really wasn't interested in the job, but I was going through the experience, and I just feel like, and I called each person that I interviewed with and apologized and, you know, thanked them for the opportunity, but I just wanted to understand a recruiter because I've never worked with a recruiter or headhunter and how it's supposed to work.
Wow, that's interesting.
All right. Let me jump in here. The recruiter. I'm hearing a whole bunch of things here, so I'm going to address your first question, and I won't make it lengthy. I think as far as working with a career transition coach or recruiter, whomever, I don't feel that they always have to have been in your field, okay? I think a good coach, a good recruiter can help you where you're at. Unless you're in such a rarefied, you know, brain surgeon kind of field. I mean, the tenets for good interviewing and you know, having a good interview are fairly the same across the board. I do hear what your coach is saying about getting out there and networking, because frankly, 70% of the jobs are found through networking, and not sitting in front of your computer. Sending a resume is going to get you a response about 5% of the time. So I hear what she's saying. What concerns me a little, and this is something that we do, is we don't just go out and network. We actually help you create a network. We help you figure out how to network and informational interviewing. So I'm hoping that you're getting, you know, not just go out there and do it, but, you know, helping you learn how to do it and keeping you accountable for it. So that's, you know, what I would add to that.
Yep, that's good feedback. Thank you.
All right. Thank you. Good questions. So with that, I wanted to pause for just a second because I know some people may have to jump off the call early. So before we get to the next question, I just wanted to take a quick minute and tell you about a special offer that we have for you today. And you're all going to love this, especially since you're asking about coaching questions. Megan, Sari, and I conduct a 30-minute Accelerate Your Career consultation. And in this consultation, we go over, you know, where you want to go with your career, where you are currently, how to remove your job search roadblocks, and what other professionals like you have done to make a successful career move. Now, normally this consultation is $199, but today we have 3 one-on-one 30-minute consultations to give away. So there's about, I think, 7 of you on the call. We got some other people dialing in a little bit later. So we have some additional people on the call now. So you do have a good chance. If there's only 7, we've got 3 spots, you have a good chance of getting one. So in order to get one of these spots, we're going to send you a quick application. So if you want to send me an email at info, that's I-N-F-O, at brandyourcareer.com, use the subject line application in the body of the email. Just tell me your name, and I'll be sure to email you the application right after this call is over. So, again, that's a free 30-minute consultation that you'll get with either myself, Sari, or Megan, and we'll reach out to you, and you'll be able to kind of take us for a test drive, so to speak, and get a couple more additional questions answered specific to your job search. So again, send an email to info@brandyourcareer.com and we'll send you out an application and we'll let you know early next week if you've gotten one of those spots. So let's get back to the Q&A. Who has the next question?
Well, I have one. This is Frances. I have one. I was wondering if you have any advice or tips for introverts as far as interviewing is concerned and networking.
Introverts and interviewing and networking. Okay. I'll let Sari, do you want to take this, and then I'll see if I have anything to add. Or Megan wants
sure.
To add.
Let me just make sure that I understand that you're asking what sort of tips if you are an introverted, kind of a shy person, with regard to this whole networking business, right?
Right. Well, network and interviewing. I mean, I haven't really interviewed in almost 25 years, so it's kind of, and it's changed so much. It's just, I'm just terrified, really. So any tips you or any advice you can give me would.
It has changed. I, as I said, I've been doing this for 30 years, and I have just seen many changes in the way that recruiters or hiring managers are asking questions. They want to know a lot more about what you bring to the table, what accomplishments you have. So you need to be prepared to really talk about yourself and to talk about your strengths, to talk about what you bring to the table, talk about what value you're going to bring to that company. And it's a lot different than it used to be. It used to be, I think, you know, you kind of went in and you're like, hey, I like you and you like me and looks like I have some nice experience. But it's not like that. There's a lot of competition out there. And so you just, you need to practice. I can't say it any differently than that. But you need to know how to talk about yourself. You need to know how to answer that question that you're going to get, and that is, tell me about yourself. You need to be able to answer the question, what are your strengths? And you need to be able to answer a question, why would we hire you? So I would say, I would, you know, start with that and be able to answer that. Now, how do you get those answers? You can get them a couple ways. I mean, you can do a lot of Googling and see if you can find, you know, answers to some of this. You can obviously hire, you know, interview or career transition coaches. You can talk to your friends, but what you must do is practice. You know, I always say you're not going to go to a violin concert without having practice for it. So you need to practice for your interview. So I could go on and on, but I won't. So who else wants to jump in on this?
This is Megan.
Go ahead, Megan.
Michelle. All right. All I really want to say is I think, Francis, the key, whether you're an introvert or an extrovert, is to be self-aware. Know who you are, what you're good at, and what you can confidently, you know, the value, and that you can confidently articulate the value you can bring to the company and what sets you apart. So it's really being self-aware, because when you know who you are and what you're good at, I think it sort of removes the introvert, extrovert. It's just you're able to constantly, comfortably talk about yourself. And so that's what I would suggest.
Yeah, and this is Michelle. And I would just add on to what Sari was saying about being prepared. You know, write down your stories. Write down your success stories and your achievements of what you've done over your career, and have, you know, 5 to 7 stories prepared, so when you're going to that interview, you're not taken off guard when someone says, tell me about a time where you had to get someone that wasn't on your team to do something, or whatever that some of those behavioral questions are. Have some stories already framed out and know those stories like the back of your hand, and that'll just give you all the more confidence going into that interview saying, well, I know how I'm going to answer these, you know, typical questions, especially the tell me about yourself, or even tell me why you want this job, or why should I hire you? That's another good question to have prepared ahead of time and think about, so you're not caught off guard and feel flustered in your interview. So those would be some other tips that I would offer, at least in interviewing. And as far as the networking for introverts, you know, go to a network event, have the goal of meeting, maybe it's only 2 people. But, you know, if you get overwhelmed with, oh my God, I have to meet all these people, and that freaks you out, you know, go with the goal of, all right, I'm going to talk to 2 people. 2 people isn't so bad, right? You know, you can do that. So, you know, make goals that seem achievable for you when you go to a networking event. And I think that'll help kind of get past the, you know, oh, I don't really like to talk to new people. You don't have to talk to everybody. Talk to a couple. You know, you don't want to talk to everybody. You want to talk to a couple and get to know them better anyway. So that's my...
Michelle, this is Megan. I want to just dovetail off of what you said. Francis, for the networking, Michelle is right. You know, if you're going networking, give yourself a goal of meeting, say, 1 to 2 people, and remember this. People love to talk about themselves. So, as an introvert, or walking into a room full of strangers, come armed with a couple questions for them. Get the other person talking right away, you know, so that all of a sudden you might just say, hey, you know, so what are you looking for? What's your background? All of a sudden they're doing the talking. People love to talk about themselves, and it takes the pressure off you. And then all of a sudden you've got a rapport going. So just keep that in mind when you're networking. Get them talking first.
Okay. Thank you so much for all your advice.
You know what, can I just add, I just want to add one more little piece to all this, and that is your ability to exude confidence. You don't have to be a cheerleader going out there. You know, there are many shy, introverted people who get jobs. But what is important is that you are confident about what you bring to the table and how you talk about yourself. Because a hiring manager will smell that out in 2 seconds. I see it all the time. It just happened the other day. I sent in a fellow who had terrific credentials. He could not talk about himself. He felt badly about himself. He hadn't worked in a year. And it came through loud and clear, and the recruiter wanted nothing to do with him. He said he doesn't have any confidence in his abilities. So I would just, you know, say that is just a really big piece of the whole interview process. Whether you're shy or not shy, you have to be confident about what you bring to the table.
Well, that's definitely good advice. Definitely something to think about.
Tom, could I just add a couple things to what you've all said?
Sure, go ahead, Tom.
I'm an introvert, so I can relate with you, Frances. It's tough to go. It was tough for me to go to networking events last time I was in transition. So a couple things that helped. I found I was a much better one-on-one networker. So if I could go through my LinkedIn contacts or other people I knew and just ask them to connect me with somebody, and then I could meet one-on-one with that person for lunch, coffee, drink, that was much easier for me. As much as I can get up and talk in front of a group and love that, walking into a big networking group was always really tough. So I think find what works for you. If you're more comfortable one-on-one, one or on two, you can still network very effectively that way. And then there was a great book written by Susan Cain called Quiet. It's all about the power of introverts. I don't know if you've read it, but if you haven't, you might want to pick it up because it really has some great stuff in there about introversion.
Yes, I have heard about it and haven't read it yet. I heard some interesting things about it, but I'll definitely make a point to pick it up.
Thanks, Tom. I appreciate you chiming in with your own experience. That was always helpful on these types of calls too. Is you're not alone. So, is there anyone else that has another question?
Just curious what your thoughts are on follow-up after the interview, you know, how frequent, you know, how quick, how frequent, you know, how much time do you take between follow-ups? Any thoughts on that?
Barry, I'll let you field that, and if I have anything to add, I'll pipe in.
Sure. Well, I'm very big on following up within, I think 24 hours is too long. So if I send somebody for an interview to a client, I expect them to have written an emailed thank you note the day of the interview. And I've had employers comment to me, they've interviewed somebody at 3 o'clock in the afternoon, and they'll say to me at 9 o'clock in the morning, I didn't hear from them. They must not want the job. So I know it sounds really cruel, but I've seen employers just, not even think about somebody if they haven't written a thank you note right away. It is, obviously, it's a common courtesy, but what it shows to the employer is that, hey, I'm really interested. I respect the time you took with me, and I'm going to write you right away to tell you that. So that's my first point, is get that thank you note. And an email thank you note is really what's needed these days. I mean, you can follow up with a handwritten, but, you know, in our age of immediacy, we need to send the email. And then as far as how often do you follow up, well, I'm hoping that when you leave the interview, as we talked about, you will have asked, what are the next steps, or when may I hear from you, or when may I call you, so that you're not shooting in the dark here, that you're not thinking, oh, my God, a week has gone by, I haven't heard from these people, what do I do next? So, I mean, you know, plan A would be to know when you will hear from them. Now, obviously, sometimes you don't hear from them when they say they're going to. So no reason that you can't shoot an email or even a phone call that just says, hey, you know, it's Tom. I was hoping to hear from you today, just wondering if there's any information you need from me. So, you know, easy, breezy, follow up, you know, can you do that a couple times without being annoying? Yeah, you can. You know, if I hear from somebody three times in a week, you know, it's kind of a lot. So I think you have to sort of gauge, you know, the conversation you had. So that would be my, you know, first blush of an answer. I'm sure Megan or Michelle may have some other things to add to that.
Yeah, this is Michelle. I would agree with you 100% to follow up right away with that email thank you note. But then hopefully at the end of your interview, you have that question of, well, what are the next steps? When do I expect to hear from you? And if they say in a week or in 2 weeks, and that time frame goes by and you don't hear from them, I think it's perfectly acceptable to reach out and say, hey, I just wanted to know you to know that I'm still interested in the position. Can you let me know where you are in the hiring process? And that's perfectly fine to reach out, you know, especially in that time frame, and do it on a, you know, every 7 to 10 business days or so. If you continue not to hear from them. So, Megan, did you have anything to add?
Yeah, really, I was just going to add to say, you know, based on, you know, weekly check-in, hey, you know, circling back, checking the status on this. And I would say hit them three times. And then if you don't hear from them after, say, 3 weeks or, you know, something like that, I'd probably stop unless, Sari or Michelle, you disagree with me. I think three times over a 3 to 4 week period is probably enough.
Yeah, I would agree. You know, sometimes it's a really cruel situation. You know, a recruiter will send you in, and you think you've done a good job, and then you don't hear from the recruiter again, which I, you know, gives recruiters a lovely name in our business. And so I would, you know, it's easier to push the recruiter a little bit more than it is to push, you know, when you've gone to the company itself. So, you know, if you can establish a really good rapport, if it's a recruiter sending you in, usually they will get back to you with some information. So,
How about the content to that first follow-up? I mean, is it important to keep it brief and just a thank you, or is that an opportunity to sell, continue selling?
Go ahead,
Michelle.
And then I'll play. All right. Scott, I think there's always an opportunity to sell. I don't think you need to do a hard sell, but certainly there's always, you know, hey, you mentioned such and such in the interview. Here's this article I thought you'd find interesting. I mean, it just goes. Any kind of extra effort that you can make, I think, is good. Or, you know, I was reflecting on our conversation and I wanted to reiterate, you know, this point, or I forgot to make this point, and here's how I helped this company do such and such, and I know that you're experiencing that pain. I think it's fine to have a sentence or two in there that kind of reiterates your value that you can bring to the organization, as well as following up and saying, you know, where you are in the process. Why waste an opportunity, in my opinion? And Sari, go ahead.
Yeah, no, I would agree. It's perfect. Why waste an opportunity? You know, this doesn't have to be a long note. You don't have to, you know, belabor, you know, okay, what did they say and what do I bring to the table? But I think Michelle is right. If there's just some, you know, point that you might be able to make just to refer to your interview, that's great. But again, and if you can't think of anything, just be, you know, really genuine, really enjoy the conversation. I think, you know, that I bring value to the position. I would just try to personalize it a little so that it doesn't look like, you know, you could have copied this thank you note from, you know, from Google. You know, thank you very much. I had a very nice interview. Hope to hear from you soon. You know, that's not what you want to send. So any way that you can personalize it. But keep it short. It really does not, you know, a couple paragraphs at maximum. Nobody wants to read long things anymore, period. So hope that's helpful.
Yeah, thank you.
Does anyone else have another question?
This is Mike again. How do you go about meeting a recruiter?
I've just introduced you to Sari.
That's one way to meet a recruiter. all right, so shall I have a stab at this? Well, many companies obviously employ recruiters. There are in-house recruiters, and then there are, I guess I would say I'm an outhouse recruiter. So I'm a recruiter that, you know, is hired by employers to help them find candidates. So, you know, you will stumble upon recruiters when you answer openings. You know, you might see a posting. You'll stumble upon recruiters if somebody introduces you to a recruiter. I mean, I get sent people to me all week. You know, Sari, my friend Joe is looking for a job. Would you meet with him? And so typically I do. And I'm not always, and I think this is important to know, just because you meet a recruiter doesn't mean that recruiter can help you get a job. Because I say to people, look, I'm really only as good as the jobs I'm working on. You know, if you're a mechanical engineer and I only have a job as an executive assistant, obviously we're not going to make wild music together. But it doesn't mean that I don't keep your resume and, you know who you are and keep you on my radar to call you later. So it's, you know, it's important to meet recruiters. I just think, you know, they are good people to meet usually, because if you get a recruiter who sort of thinks, wow, you're a great candidate, they're going to find ways to put you in front of their clients when the opportunity arises. The other thing I would say, though, you know, when you say meet a recruiter, it's very difficult, although you can try it, to just, you know, look at a list of recruiting companies in your area and call them up and say, hey, I'm Joe Blow. I'm looking for a job as, you know, a marketing guru, and could I come in and talk to you? More often than not, they're going to say no, because you're not filling the bill for them to, you know, to fill the position they're looking for. So don't get put off by it. Just find places, you know, where there are recruiters that you embrace them and call them back and just be as attentive as possible. So that was a long-winded answer. I hope that was helpful to you.
It was.
Great. Yeah, and I'll just add one other quick thing to that, Mike. You can always do a Google search on recruiters or recruiters that specialize in sales. There's lots of those people out there. But one thing to keep in mind is the recruiter is working for the company. The recruiter doesn't work for you. So the more recruiters you can meet, the better off you are. And you know, keep in touch with them every so often. You can send them a note just to say, you know, wondering what searches you have ongoing now, and make sure you're in their database. So let's keep that in mind, too.
Perfect.
All right. I think we've got time for maybe one or two more questions before we wrap up. So does anyone else have another question?
I do. This is Deborah Canale. Quick question. When you leave a position or a company in that, in regards to your LinkedIn profile, is it best to change it in the sense of put an end date of when you're no longer with that company, or is it better to leave it as is until a later date or until you find something?
Fantastic question. And I will go ahead and answer that. A lot of people in transition, like you, they're unsure of what to put. Think of your LinkedIn profile as a marketing document. So what I tell clients is, yes, put an end date to your most recent position, but then have another active job that, yes, it's not a real job per se, but it's another opportunity to market yourself. And in that job, you can put a description of whatever it is that you do, you know, marketing manager seeking new opportunities at, you know, a small, medium-sized business or whatever. You can be specific in that job title and even state what you're looking for. And in a job description, you can, you know, it's another chance to sell yourself. So you can add on to what, you know, you weren't able to fit into your summary, or you can highlight some of your achievements that you've had in your career and reiterate in more specific detail what exactly you're looking for, as well as, you know, the value that you bring to a company. Okay. And if you don't feel secure about having seeking in there, you can always put your target job titles, and then for the company name, you can say market research resources or sales resources, whatever it is that you do, and put resources after it, because that's what you are. You're a resource. Those are two options. But the reason to also have a current position is the algorithm in LinkedIn surfaces people that are currently employed higher in the search results than people that are not currently employed. So you definitely want to have a current position.
Perfect. All right. Thank you.
You're welcome. Great question. All right. I think we have time for one more quick question, and then Sari, Meg, and I will wrap it up.
If no one else has a question, I have another question. This is Deborah. Is it a good idea immediately after you leave the company or later on, once you have a better idea of what you're seeking, to send out an email to your contacts? Now, contacts that are outside the firm, not previous clients, nothing like that, but just, you know, centers of influences outside of your company.
So are you talking about contacts that you formerly had at your last employment, whether they're internal? In the
Not so much internally, but externally. So, you know, you've had contacts, whether it's, frankly, you know, I was in the financial world and that. So accountants and attorneys and other consultant relations individuals and that. Is it best to, versus me reaching out to them individually, saying, hey, I left the company and that, or is it better to, you suggest, to send an email to my previous contacts and saying, hey, you know, I've left this company and that. This is what I'm searching for. I look forward to staying in touch. Like, should you do a mass email or an individual email, and or should you even contact them at all immediately after you leave?
I think that's a refund question.
That's a multi-question. Sorry about that.
Michelle, this is Megan. I'm going to tackle this first, and then you guys can jump in. Deborah, that's a great question, and I think there's a couple different things you could do. So when you know, contacting your external contacts, you can call people up individually. You know, depending on how well you know them, you can call them up. You can send an email. Siri and I we also recommend what's called a broadcast letter, and this letter is basically an email that you would send out saying, you know, hello contacts, letting you know that I am looking, you know, I'm looking for a new position, say in the marketing world, and I've attached my resume, and if you know of anyone that would be a good resource for me, or if you simply just know about an opportunity that I would benefit from, please let me know. So you could do that as well.
Okay. All right. Thank you.
Great.
Sari or Michelle, Thanks. Do you have anything to add?
No. On my end, I think you did it perfectly.
No, I don't have anything to add either. So we're right at the top of the hour just about, so I wanted to give you a quick reminder about the free consultation. Again, it's a free 30-minute consultation, Accelerate Your Job Search consultation, that you'll get with either Sari, Megan, or I. If you're interested in applying for one of the three spots that we have, send a quick email to info, I-N-F-O, at brandyourcareer.com, and I'll send you out the quick about a 5-question little application that we have you send out, and we'll let you know if you got one of those spots early next week. So with that, I'd like to turn it over to Sari and talk about,
sure.
You know, just do a quick recap of what we've talked about today.
Great, great. I, of course, all of us would be curious, is there a takeaway that you all have gotten? Is there something that resonated? I mean, obviously, we hope you've gotten something from the call, but is there anything in particular that you want to just tell us? It helps us know for future phone calls, but is there something in particular that resonated with you or that was a takeaway for you today?
I just think you generally addressed the questions very well. I mean, I think it was all good advice, but very, very thorough responses with a couple different perspectives. Thank you.
Wonderful. Great. Anybody else want to just shout out any takeaway that they're going to be happy with after this phone call?
They're all too busy digesting their notes. Go ahead. Did someone type in?
I don't think so. All right. Well, listen, I hope that, you know, you did have some takeaways that resonated, and I'm going to turn it over to Megan.
Okay. Again, thanks for being on the call. I'm just going to do a quick recap. And before I do the recap, I want to remind you that we hold this fourth Friday Job Search War Q&A, the fourth Friday of every month. So please mark your calendars for that fourth Friday from noon to 1 Central. I don't have the next month exactly at my tip or on my lips, but I'm sure we can get that for you before I end the call. So just to wrap up, we had some great questions about interviewing, right? How do you ask for the job? And how do you unearth some hidden talents that might not have been come out in the interview? So again, ask for the job right at the end, and ask the interviewer, is there anything else you need to know? Great questions on introverts, and the idea is for interviewing and networking, practice, write it down, prepare, you know, I think, you know, find out what type of networking is best for you and a way that works. Key is to exude confidence and know who you are and what you offer. Following up, frequency and timing. Leaving the interview, you really want to have that addressed with the interviewer. You know, how should follow-up happen? Will you be getting back to me? And if so, when? And then keep in touch weekly, checking the status. We also, the coaching idea was brought up. How do you find a coach? And in general, you want to spend some time researching it, contacting several coaches, interviewing them, and looking for fit, connection, background, and, obviously, possibly check their references. Meeting a recruiter, that's always a good one. And we talked about the importance of recruiting and how to find them, whether you're introduced to them on Google. And as Michelle said, recruiters are working for the company, so they're not always apt to find you a job if you call them. And then the LinkedIn question, when leaving a position, what do you do about your LinkedIn? Well, you keep it active. You leave. You actually are in a job of you're putting in your target job title and as a resource.
And then finally, how do you let your contacts know you've moved on? You can contact them phone call, email, and even a broadcast letter. So that just is a quick recap of everything we touched on. And, again, we really appreciate you being on the call. Michelle, I'm just going to hand it off to you to close.
All right. Well, thanks again, everyone, for attending the call. And like Megan said, we are doing this the fourth Friday of every month. So next month is August 28th at noon, same time, same place, same phone number and everything. So you'll be getting emails from us to let you know and remind you about that as well. So thanks again, everyone, for attending, and best of luck with your job search. Take care.
Thank you.
Bye.